You're listening to the Stallion Nation Podcast, your number one source for Salt Lake Stallions news, stats, and exclusive content you won't find anywhere else. Join us, Champ, E-Rock, and P-Rex, as we move full steed ahead during the AAF season.
Stallions fans, it's Stallion Nation time. I am your host, Champ, and I have P-Rex, I have E-Rock. Guys, welcome to the madness that is Stallion Nation. Yes, it's March Madness, but welcome.
Great introduction there, P-Rex.
Dude, I noticed in the last episode, I did quite a few sound effects, so I'm trying to incorporate those. I think it was kind of fun just using my own, you know, voice box and making all those sound effects. There was a horse. There was a bomb dropping. We'll see what comes up in this show. But Stallion Nation is brought to you by Streamlet, and P-Rex is going to tell you a little bit more about them.
That is correct, Champ. So if you can't find the perspectives you're looking for in Hollywood, you can find them on Streamlet, the only gamified streaming platform dedicated entirely to brand new indie films. See the freshest work being made by Utah filmmakers and support their voices through your subscription. Visit streamlet.com and use the code STALLIONS for half off a monthly or yearly subscription.
Thank you, Streamlet, for making this possible. And also, thank you to Streamlet for giving those tickets to the fans. The fan, I forget his name already. Zach. It was Zach Moffitt. That's right. Zach did post, and thank you, Zach, for doing that. He posted that he went to the game. He took a picture. He tagged us. But we also wanted to give a shout-out to Streamlet for making that possible. So thanks so much. We got a good show. Guys, we went to the game.
Oh, so much fun.
Such a good
game.
So
much fun.
So sick.
I also ended up incredibly red after the game.
Oh, yeah.
P-Rex, did you burn?
I burned. I got really burnt. Yeah, and no. I was talking to E-Rock. I'm like, man, you look really burnt. Like some knob over here is like, hey, man, you look really burnt. Oh, you look quite lobster yourself, you idiot.
Basically, it was a perfect day for football.
It was beautiful. No regrets.
55 degrees. Absolutely not. Sunny. And by the way, what? Kim Possible, are you kidding me right now?
That is Power Rangers. Oh, respect the game.
Not the player. No, dude. Of course, P-Rex's notifications aren't off. That always happens when we record. But let's talk about the game. That's what we're going to do. We're going to also talk about power rankings in the AAF. We're going to talk about some trending news items. Then we'll go into Streamlet Stallion of the Week, which it is no competition. It is definitely going to be Carter Scholl. We're going to talk about his game now and when we get to that point as well. And then we will end with a preview of a very important against the San Antonio Commanders. Mm-hmm. It's a divisional game. We have to beat them if we want any kind of shot to make the playoffs. So let's talk first about the game that we went to. It was in Rice-Eccles Stadium. We iced the rice, but it was sunny. It was nice. Someone got proposed to during the game. You remember that?
Yeah.
The part that stood out to me, though, was when they had the race with all the fans, and the horse was running that race.
The blue-headed stallion.
Dude, yeah.
Ran like a stallion to that end zone.
Yeah, he did.
And won himself something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
He got something. That was a fun time. And actually, this coming game, the next home game, they're actually going to be recognizing military men. And if you didn't know, P-Rex is in the military. P-Rex, thanks for your service.
Ah, thank you.
So if you do have a military friend, you can go to the Stallions Facebook page or Twitter, and you can go nominate a military friend. So go and do that. But anyway, the game, the defense was amazing.
Oh, my gosh. First play. First defensive play
first
of the game.
First defensive play of the game.
A sack from Jaboy
Carter Scholl. Dude, shout out to Carter Sauce. All right?
Yeah.
Good for you, man. Keep it going.
I was a little disappointed. I didn't see a Rock the Baby. I want that to be a signature, Carter. If you're listening.
Oh, he's listening.
We want this to be a signature move.
That's right.
That's your move. You own it.
You got
to
Rock the Baby, man. But no, he killed it. He had two sacks in the game. But here's a stat that's insane. 7 sacks total by the Stallions defense in that game alone.
That was amazing.
The highest in AAF history, of course, because the history is not too long.
It's being written.
But that is probably one of the I don't know if I've ever seen that amount of sacks in an NFL game.
Well, our D tackle had a couple, and then I don't know his name, but Odom. 93.
Odom.
Yeah, Odom.
Yeah.
That
big
dude,
boy.
Yeah, we saw him up close, and I was like, I don't want to mess with that dude.
Yeah, dude,
like,
you don't want to get in a dark room with that guy. He's going to smoke you.
I liked his celebration. Did you guys see him do the army crawl?
Yes, he was right just after? Crawling through. Oh, yeah, dude, that was so sick. And our offense did good, too.
First half, they were good, and then they kind of fizzled out.
Yes, let's talk about that for a second. Did we notice, I mean, I noticed, I hope you noticed as well, or you weren't watching the same game I was, they were passing for the longest time. They were aggressive.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
It was like Dennis Erickson going. Yeah, it was like Dennis Erickson flipped a switch and said, oh, I guess slants are good. We should throw slants. Yeah.
Yeah, they had the short game just on fire, too. Like, they were just, you know, tons of slants, tons of button hooks, but they were just getting that ball down the field.
So good.
I'm curious if they were so aggressive with the passing game because they saw in film that the Express didn't really have the best secondary.
Yeah.
And I'm almost willing to bet that that went into their strategy for this game. But yes, they looked amazing.
They did look good. The ending score was 22-9. During that first drive, I mean, the Stallions took a risk on a 4th-and-1. Remember that?
Yeah.
On the Memphis 45-yard line, Joel Buonio made it. Stallions continued down the field. So they scored on the first one, and that's huge. We talk about this all the time. Driving down the field on the first possession and scoring sets the tone of the game, and honestly, it gives you the best shot to win, right? So that was really good. There were a lot of different Stallions on offense that were getting some good touches. Jordan Leslie got a 2-point conversion. But, I mean, you got to shout out to the defense. 7 sacks. And it was only done by 4 people, which means that three of them got 2 sacks in that game.
Right. So Carter Schultz had
Carter
2.
Carter Schultz, yep.
And then
the defensive tackle. I don't remember his. Yeah, that dude. That name.
Polipe.
Polipe.
So, yes. And then Odom. Had 2 as well.
Odom did have 2.
Yep.
Interesting.
I don't know the last one. I'm sorry. I can't give you that.
It was one of the linebackers, I think.
Let's see. Besides 1 team sack, defensive lineman Carter Schultz, Tenny Palapoy, and Chris Odom each tallied 2. Now the team sits at 2-4. And again,
Coming back.
Exactly. We have to win out if we want a good shot. And it starts this weekend against the San Antonio Commanders in San Antonio. So we're out of Salt Lake for this one. Now, I'll say this about the game. Woodrum, our quarterback, he said this. Playoffs is the end goal for the season, but for right now, we're just trying to win the next game. That's kind of our mentality. We went 1-4 the first half of the season, and our goal is to go 5-0 the second half of the season and let chaos ensue with the playoffs. Right now, we feel really good about our team. And then you had Dennis Erickson saying, we're playing good on defense, and we've showed a lot of sparks on offense. Hopefully, we can get it all together next week.
So that begs the question, champ. What do they need to get together? Because I think you know, and we saw firsthand at the game, what they need to get figured out.
Well, I might have a different idea than you, so why don't you tell me what you're thinking?
I don't know. Maybe turnovers on the 5-yard line?
Okay.
That might be something.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah. I know your body.
Wait, what is that off of? Dude, where's my car?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I know your body. You're right. Okay, I just have to crap. you're absolutely right. Turnovers, and there still were penalties that were not necessary.
Yes.
Mental mistakes that really kill the momentum. And Woodrum even said it in his press conference. He felt like we should have won by 40, you know?
They probably should have, yeah.
They should have.
The way that those turnovers played, it should have been a different ball game. I know we were screaming pretty good. How about this? And we'll move on to the next part after this. But do you guys remember during the game, there was a penalty on the Stallions?
And, oh my gosh,
and the Memphis Express say, we accept. 5 seconds later, referee comes back and says, no, they've actually declined. Here's the call.
They changed their mind.
10 seconds later, the ref comes back and says, they've changed their mind again. They actually want to accept the penalty.
It's like, at what point is it final?
I mean, I'm like, come on, how many times can you flip flop here?
We were giving him some grief. Oh, we got a buddy. Was. We call him Sniper, and he is among like probably top five people that I know that can harass the refs vocally. It's an art form, really. He does really well.
I mean, it got the whole crowd around us going.
He got me harassing him. I was like, hey, in fact,
math is hard.
We've changed our mind. That wasn't a fumble back there. Yeah. We retained possession.
That's right, dude. It was quite the show. But ultimately, we got the W. We put us at 2-4 now. Now, Memphis is 1-4. Now they're 1-5. So they're not the best team to, you know, put yourself up against the other, right?
Right.
So now let's talk power rankings. With the games that have happened and the standings, I'll tell you those right now. In the East Division, you have the Orlando Apollos at 5-1. The Birmingham, what?
Yes,
5-1.
Ladies and gentlemen, they lost.
The Apollos lost.
They are beatable.
A barn burner of a game against the Hotshots. Okay? So Apollos lose. They are beatable. They are human. Birmingham Iron are 4-2. Your Atlanta Legends are 2-4. And then your Memphis Express are now 1-5, thanks to the Stallions. Our West Division, you have San Antonio at the top. So we're going to play the top team in the West Division at 4-2 this weekend. You have the Arizona Hotshots at 3-3, the San Diego Fleet at 3-3, and then the Salt Lake City Stallions at 2-4. So we sit at the bottom versus our division. We are 1-2, but we have most of our division games still in play.
So what you're telling me is that
you're telling me there's a
with
chance.
Two more
you're
wins.
Telling me there's a chance.
With two more wins,
we're right there.
We're back on top.
Yeah. There is such a great opportunity for the Stallions to take it to the next step, and that is getting them closer to the top of the division to eventually get to the playoffs.
Well, especially because we play the Commanders, and then the week after that we play the Fleet again, right?
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, we're still very much in this, you know.
Absolutely.
But it really does start with the game we just had, and, you know, moving forward, we got to win this next one.
Yes, absolutely. So if we had to place a power rank on these teams, you still would put Apollos at 1, right?
Right.
They're still the best team in the league, and just because they lost to the Hotshots, everyone has a bad game, right? But what do you put it to? Who do you put it to, and where does it go from there?
Well, there's only two 4-2 teams,
right?
Correct?
The Birmingham Iron and the San Antonio Commanders.
Now, we lost by 1 point to the Birmingham Iron.
Didn't we lose by 3?
We lost by 1.
Did we lose by 1?
It was 12-11.
You're right, son of a bitch.
And we missed 3 field goals. We should have won that game.
We should have won that game.
We should have won it by 12.
You're right.
You know?
Good call.
He's still pissed.
Yes, you're pissed.
I'm a little upset.
I'm pissed.
I mean, it was a good game, but come on, kicker.
Dude.
We had first row seats to watch him practice.
We were like, Taylor. Dude, he was. We were right by the kicker's net, and he was, every 5 minutes, he was booting something in there. I was like, if that misses, it's going straight into our faces. but Bertolette has been hitting some good ones, so we can't complain too much. So, yes, to your point, the Birmingham Iron are not number 2.
Right. No, I wouldn't consider them number 2. I'd say the Commanders
are
would probably
two.
Take that.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yep.
And then the Iron, just because their record indicates that.
I think you're spot on there. Now, with the Arizona Hotshots beating the Apollos, do they jump? Because people were ranking them probably around 6 or 7. Do they move a couple spots to the number 4 or number 5?
We talked about this. Is their starting QB back?
Yes.
Because they're dangerous with that starting QB.
He was the one that put together the winning drive against the Apollos.
Okay. See? I mean,
and then they won by a field goal. It was a field goal winning game.
Yeah.
But
that QB is the real deal.
You're right.
Watching him play firsthand, you can tell that he executes on a whole nother level.
Right.
Right? He is a good QB, and I would argue to put him in the next spot he's starting.
So you say Arizona at 4, putting the Fleet at 5?
And yes. I would counter-argue that and say I'd put the Fleet above.
I think I'm with you on that,
The Fleet are riding a little bit more of a high currently, and the Hotshots are 1-2 against their own division.
Right.
So...
Right, but
yeah,
they can't win.
A lot of that record is an indication. They were undefeated before their QB went down
sure,
against
sure.
us. I'm telling you guys. power rankings never make sense.
We're trying to make sense.
We can bypass that nonsense and realize that the Hotshots QB is good. He ain't Josh Woodrum.
He ain't Josh Woodrum, right?
But he's good. And I think if he is starting and he's healthy, they are going to be a problem for everyone else in their division.
Okay. So then the number six spot, would you put our Stallions?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's where I'd put them too. Putting Atlanta at seven, Memphis at eight. 1-5. You've lost most of your games. You haven't really scored much. You're going to be number eight.
But is help on the way?
That's a great transition, E-Rock. That's why you're here. We are going to talk about what did we call him?
Wait.
John Zell, dude.
New nickname for Johnny Football. John Zell.
John Zell is in the fracking AAF now. He has been cleared for takeoff with the Memphis Express. And rumor has it. Okay, don't
just same wavelength.
Every time E-Rock's like, over here, like, what a bunch of jackasses.
Those guys are weird.
That's crazy. That's exactly what I was thinking.
But rumor has it, Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, John Zell is going to be starting quarterback for the Memphis Express. Are you going to watch the game?
How opportune that the starting QB for the Memphis Express has been injured in this past game against your Stallions, Carter Schultz.
We're good at injuring QBs, guys. Now,
here's what's the crazy part. San Antonio had the first opportunity based on location, and they waived the opportunity to sign him. And then it goes to – and I don't know if you guys knew this. It goes to the worst team for the first opportunity to sign him.
Oh, that's awesome.
Of course the Memphis Express are going to sign him, right?
Yeah.
What do you have to lose with it?
Well, exactly. And on top of it all, it is already buzzing all over. The AAF is starting to get more news, more publicity on bigger networks, right? You have CBS talking about it. You have ESPN talking about it. Like, Johnny Manziel is a story. And now that he's in the AAF, this could boost it.
But here's the catch to that is we actually need him to perform. It can't be another Canadian Football League entrance where he just, throws pick after pick. But he needs to come in, do well. Because, think about it. If Johnny Manziel comes in, throws, 200-some yards, couple touchdowns, no interceptions, does that not get you intrigued for his potential comeback story?
This is the ultimate, the last chance of Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
Before he goes over to Burger King, right? Start flipping burgers.
Well, the moment Manziel was released from the Alouettes in the Canadian Football League, everyone had to believe that he was going to take a shot at the AAF because he has tried the NFL and failed. He's tried the CFL and failed. So now it's the AAF. Let's see if he fails. I'm pretty sure he'll fail. Or he might succeed.
Come on. Where's the optimism here?
I'm not optimistic when it comes to John Zell.
The John Zell trademark Stallion Nation podcast.
That's right. Stallion Nation, John Zell.
But anyway, the big question mark that is surrounding John Zell is nobody knows why he got kicked out.
It's true.
Everyone speculates that it's something to do with addiction, right? Everyone speculates, but nobody knows.
That's good explanation. That's a good thought. I'm pretty sure that's the case. But anyway, it brings good publicity, and even though it may be bad publicity in some sorts, any publicity is good publicity, especially for the AAF, who's trying to grow.
It's a win-win for the AAF.
To bring
even if
in.
He does not perform. Even if he is terrible, that is Johnny Football, and he is playing in the AAF. That is going to get people watching the game.
That's right.
Which I was a little surprised by. The network that's broadcasting the Memphis game, oh, yes, I looked it up. I'm going to watch it.
Which one is it?
I want to see Johnny.
CBS?
No, it's NFL Network.
Okay, yeah.
Which definitely I thought CBS might, take the lead on that. But it is March Madness,
Yeah. Maybe. So, people are rolling their eyes about Johnny Football. Some are praising it. I would say that it's a good move, at least for now.
Yeah.
Right? There's been a couple other news stories that we'll talk about real briefly. The championship game was supposed to be played in Las Vegas, and they recently moved it to Texas. Now, Do you guys know why?
We spoke about it a little bit, Champ. Well, how about you tell
enlighten us?
Yeah. The second story that turns heads as of Wednesday is that the inaugural Alliance of American Football Championship would no longer be played in Las Vegas, and according to CBS Sports, the game will now be played in Frisco, Texas, in the Ford Center at the Star, a facility owned by Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. What does that say about the AAF, and what does that say about Jerry Jones? There's a lot of questions that come up in my mind when I think, okay, they moved it from Vegas, and now they've moved it to Texas, to a facility that is owned by an NFL owner, Jerry Jones. What do you guys think?
Well, you made a good point when we discussed this earlier, Champ. The fact that the stadium fits less people, one thing that we cannot deny with a startup football league is that there's going to be a lack of attendance.
Which David Merrick so beautifully told us last podcast.
And he beautifully conceptualized
right.
the introduction of the AFL when it first came into the league. You use statistics and use numbers. David, thank you.
Yes.
I appreciate
it. Data leads to facts.
Exactly. So, I mean, the whole thing for this to succeed is to gain popularity, right? If people see stands that are full of 16,000 people
yeah.
at a championship game, that could gain some traction.
Right.
I think the bigger question mark for me, Champ, and I'm asking you too, E-Rock, I want to get your guys' opinion on this. Why is Jerry Jones supporting the AAF?
God, that is a great question, P-Rex. Let me talk to you about it for just a second, right?
What happened to
I have voice? No idea. I have no idea. I went total Texan on you. But, in fact, Jerry Jones is quoted saying this. It was only natural that we at the Cowboys organization would want to join that great group of partners. We are proud to be able to host their inaugural championship game. Jerry Jones just wants to be a part of it. I think he sees this league as a success and can lead to greater opportunities for players who had a shot, couldn't really get there, receive the training. I'm guessing Jerry Jones is going to be one of those advocates that does bring somebody back from the AAF and puts him on their team. Like, I can see Jerry Jones doing that because even though people give him a lot of flack, the guy does good work when it comes to letting players play when they haven't really had a shot. I mean, he's had some questionable signs. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's some people that probably should have been in jail, but they were on the Cowboys roster instead. but we're not going to go into that. But what I'm saying is he gives people a shot, and that's what all NFL owners, all NFL teams need to be seeing this league as. And I think that's how I see it. I see it as a development league for players who did get a shot or have tried to get a shot in the NFL but need that little extra training to get them to the next level.
And it's good in a lot of ways because it kind of shows a sense of unity between the two leagues
yeah.
in a small way, at least like a good start to it. Because, I mean, in all reality, you want to have a partnership essentially with the NFL and the AAF. You know, you want a lot of the NFL owners, a lot of the teams basically saying, hey, like we support this because it's developing more talent and it's developing right. talent that could have a good chance to get back into the league. So Jerry Jones participating in this and saying, hey, I'm supporting you guys. I'm helping you. I want you to succeed.
Right.
I think it's a really good first step.
Yeah, I think you're spot on, E-Rock.
But I think most of our listeners and a lot of fans of the AAF are actually surprised to see so much support from the NFL because technically at this point, at this stage in time, aren't they considered a competitor?
Yeah, I would think so, but I also don't think so.
Okay.
That's a haiku.
care to elaborate?
Well, here's the thing. You have the NFL season, and it goes from August until February. And then you get into the AAF, which is a completely different time frame.
Unless you're a Broncos fan, it only goes to end of December.
You shut your mouth. You shut your mouth when you're talking
to
me.
Jokes over here.
Dude,
that's so good.
Cold-blooded.
Even though it applies for me and my team, it's still funny.
The Packers suck. Anyway.
Not as bad as Broncos.
No.
What?
You had a worse record than the Broncos, didn't you?
I don't think so.
But I think he did. Now, E-Rock's team, the Chiefs, they are ballers.
Hey, we still lost.
But that was a tough loss. You can't get mad at that.
Yeah,
all of America besides Massachusetts was rooting for.
Tom Brady definitely got roughed on that slap on the forearm.
Yeah,
let me tell you
why. Yeah.
We dive into that.
Who did you? The Chiefs beat the before they got to the Patriots game. Who did they beat?
The Colts.
The Colts. So Massachusetts and Indiana was cheering for the Patriots. Everyone else was cheering for the Chiefs. Unfortunately, that didn't turn out so well. All right, last story, and then we move on. Did you guys know that ownership and overall operations for the Birmingham Iron resigned and left the organization?
What?
Yeah, so no one really knows why it happened. It's a 4-2 team. They're succeeding. But what they're saying is the exact reason for the sudden departure of the two executives is unclear. But if low attendance is indeed to blame, it will be interesting to see if other teams struggling to attract fans will decide to make similar moves in the week ahead. So the reason I bring that up is because I was interested in that thought. With the Stallions, we're getting only 8,000 to 10,000 people at the game.
Right.
Supposedly, there was less in this last game than the first game, which was around 10 grand, and now it's like 8,000 around there. And so I'm interested. Do you really think it's like an operations thing? Because we talked about it last episode. We're lacking in advertising. There's not a lot of love going out into the community. There are stories of teammates and players and coaches kind of going out. But at the end of the day, like, we talk to people on the street and they're like, who the heck are the Stallions?
Yeah. No, I mean, I talked to all my friends about it, and it's kind of the same thing. I mean, it's to be expected. I think there's a lot of people, they pay attention to the NFL during the season. Then after the Super Bowl, they shut it down, right?
Yeah.
They shut it down, and they go into depression because they don't have any more football, right?
It's like, he knows my life, man.
Fetal position. I just want to watch football.
Well, and you're also breaking into markets that typically – don't have a football team with them,
yeah.
Right?
You know,
right.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to break into the community. Like for Utah, we have the Jazz,
yeah.
You know, and so everyone's all geared towards basketball, but we don't have anything going for football except for college. So, I mean, the team's just it's with marketing or any kind of advertising, you're gonna get what you put into it,
yeah.
You know, and if you're only putting, you know, like $50 or $100 into it, I know it's a lot more than that. You're not gonna get the return on it that you would really expect out of
exactly.
it. So.
Yeah. Well, I hope the Salt Lake Stallions stay. I hope they figure out what's going on with their front office so that we can see some more advertising, some more love. I really do think a second year would be better.
It has to go into a second year.
It has to.
Because that's the thing. Everyone knew, or at least I would hope that they knew going into this, if you're expecting those stadiums to be full for like the first 8 games of the season, I'd say you're severely mistaken.
You're solely mistaken, sir.
Like, I'm just, from a business perspective, like, a successful business, like, what's the average? 3 years for it to be profitable?
Yeah.
Something like that? You're hosting a football team. We've identified the lack of structure. We are in a community of sports. This community embraces sports. We love sports, right? Everyone is willing to jump on that bandwagon with AAF, but there's not enough exposure. They need to do better. Everyone knows it. And I mean, when we were leaving the game, they said ESPN 700,
yeah.
Right? And we tried tuning in, and we didn't get any
it's true.
Coverage from the game. Now, that might be on our end, right? We could just be...
Maybe missed it.
Yeah, maybe missed it. But at the same time, it's like, why isn't there more coverage on this with... a channel that provides sole coverage
yeah.
of sports.
Yeah,
I don't understand that.
Well, and that's why this Jerry Jones helping out, I think,
right.
really is a big deal because yeah. it shows NFL, at least big people at the NFL care about it.
Yeah.
So hopefully you can get him joining in. You can get some other owners, you know, doing some similar things. So hopefully this is kind of like the small thing that rolls into something much bigger.
For sure.
What I really want to see, and I hope that I see it this upcoming year, and I think this might be like a P. Nostradamus Rex moment.
Oh, jeez.
I would like to see, well, I'm just expecting this to happen. There's going to be an injury of a position. There's going to be a need. They're not going to be able to fulfill that need in free agency. They pull that need from a team in the AAF, and then that player succeeds. Now, they expect their starter to come back, so he's going to be available as soon as the NFL season's over.
Right.
I could see that happening. Yeah. And I feel like that could gain some real exposure for this league.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. And that actually leads us into our next segment, which is the Streamlet Stallion of the Week. So let's do it.
Streamlet Stallion of the Week.
What the heck is that?
And they stay there.
And they stay there. Well, we're going to get into Streamlet Stallion of the Week. P-Rex, what the heck, man?
Oh, you didn't give me the go-ahead, man. I thought we were...
We are going.
Well, now we're going.
No, yeah, we're going. We're definitely going because Streamlet Stallion of the Week has to be Carter Schultz. Not only did he just have a massive game, he was named Alliance's Defensive Player of the Week. After an undeniably impressive season, Stallions defensive end Carter Schultz has been named the Alliance of American Football's Defensive Player of the Week, and on Stallion Nation has been titled and given the honor of Streamlet's Stallion of the Week because of his stellar play. In Week 6, matchup against the Memphis Express at home, Schultz played a key role in the 22-9 win with 2 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, and 5 total tackles. Before the Stallions' Week 6 victory, Schultz went into the game as the Alliance sack leader with 5, and now he has 7 and still leads the league in sacks. Carter Schultz, thank you for gracing the Salt Lake Stallions with your presence.
Thank you, Carter.
I do want to say this, though. He did actually say some things after the Stallions told him that he was the player of the week. He said, coming from a small high school, I wasn't good enough to play in college. P-Rex, we know how that goes.
Oh, yeah, right? Absolutely.
We were in a small town. We were playing in small high schools, and we didn't get our shot. We would have loved a shot, right? But he says, coming from a small college, I wasn't good enough to play in the NFL. And that's pretty much followed me my entire life. And I think I'd rather have it that way because I play much better as the underdog. If people want to count me out, that's fine. Because everywhere I've gone, I've produced and I'll continue to. Whether they call me undersized or not doesn't really matter to me. He's 6'3". He's 259 pounds. I mean, this guy's got 259 pounds of determination running through his body, right?
Yeah.
This guy is down to earth. Pure football. It's just a pleasure to have him on the team. There is a really good shot that he is not on the Stallions next season, though, as
unfortunately
he probably will make it to the NFL because he is on the top 10 list of players in the AAF to have a shot at the NFL once again. And actually, I read an article today. The Bears are considering him and or think he could really fill the need that is the defensive end role.
That would be amazing. And I would be
that's
super
a good team
conflicted.
To go to.
Right, because you're a Packers, Packers fan. He is a Packers fan, but he has to.
He's got to perform.
Yeah, if he's got an offer from the Bears, you go to the Bears, you know.
But P-Rex, could you cheer him on then at that point?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Course, Carter.
Just not against the Packers, right?
Listen, for everybody listening, Carter was the first guy to come on our show. He is just awesome.
Yeah.
And you root for a guy that is that down to earth and that accommodating to the fans.
Yeah, dude. And he finishes his interview with this. He says, being able to come here and really be valued on a team has started the fire back up in me. Dude,
love
just
it.
God bless you, man.
Yeah.
Stick around a while, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, but maybe just stay with us.
If you have to go on to greener pastures,
we would,
you do it.
We're rooting for you, bro.
We'll find a way to get to Soldier Field if that happens.
Well, instead of like right by the team, like you could tell he was having fun.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all the players are just having a blast.
Yeah.
I'd cut a Green Bay Packer jersey in half and mesh it with a Carter Schultz jersey of
a heart,
Chicago Bears.
A heart divided.
Be like, I'm torn.
I'm torn. Yeah, no, when we were at the game, and this will tell you what his character's like, after the game, Carter Schultz took the time before he went to the locker room. He and Luke Carrizola, the two that we've had on the show, they came to the Stallion Nation crew to give us a handshake and tell us that we're doing an awesome job, and we were able to just get a handshake from freaking Carter Schultz and Luke Carrizola. Like, those guys are legit.
They are.
Just awesome.
Just mad respect.
Mad respect for you guys, so keep it up. So let's talk preview of the game ahead, and then we'll finish the show. We play a critical game this weekend against the San Antonio Commanders. They are in our division. They are top of our division. We need to win out, and we need other teams in our division to lose for us to even have a shot. So it's crunch time for the Alliance of American Football season. Only 4 weeks remain, and all teams, with the exception of the Memphis Express, have something to play for. So Memphis is basically out. Sorry, Memphis. But you got Johnny. You got John Zale.
You got John Zale.
But a few more wins for the San Antonio Commanders, winners of three straight, can help secure them in the playoff berth. For the Salt Lake Stallions, however, one or two more losses will end their chances of a playoff berth. These teams will meet twice in the next 4 weeks. So we play them this week, and then we play them 2 weeks from now, I believe.
You could win both of those and be tied.
Exactly.
Just throwing
right?
that out there.
If we beat the San Antonio Commanders, we have a great shot of heading to the playoffs. Now, here's a question. I assume it's just kind of home field advantage. If you get to the playoffs, number one seed's going to get home field, right?
I would imagine a similar structure.
So, yeah, that would make sense. Anyway, I was just thinking about that. But these teams will meet twice, like I said. And what are the keys? Like, what key components are going to be a successful win for the Stallions? What's going to cause them to win?
I've got two big takeaways.
Yeah, let's do it. Wait, what did we call it? E-Rocks?
E-Rocks Scouting Report.
E-Rocks Scouting Report.
It just has a nice ring to it, you know?
That's right. No, it does.
Okay, the first one, so I was watching their last game. That the Commanders had, and they're really good at the short and medium passing game.
Yeah.
Like, they just were constantly doing slants, button hooks, and their receivers were really good at catching the ball and then breaking it away for like another 5 or 10 yard gain. So really big sure. defensively, we have to stop the short passing game for the Commanders. And part of that goes with the front seven.
Absolutely.
They got to get a lot of sacks like they did this last week, because that makes it a lot more difficult to get those.
Right. And they need to defend the run. So did you know that the Stallions are the number one run defense in the league right now?
I did not know that.
They are the number one run defense. However, the Commanders have one of the better run games in the league as well. So we have to make sure that we contain the running back. And the quarterback, I believe the quarterback has some legs under him. So having to create that spy, like you said, the front seven, that's where it's going to be kind of a difference maker. Our secondary is there. At the start of the season, they were doing so good.
Yeah, they did. They did.
And then something happened, and we just don't do as well. We give up the big plays or the third and tens that we shouldn't be giving up.
You know? There's some big breaches on the coverage that's been occurring in our past games. That's a good point, champ.
Thank you.
So I had a thought. Since a key point in this offense of the Commanders, as E-Rock pointed out, is releasing the ball quickly, do you think that's going to have an impact on our front seven?
Yeah, you might have to bring a couple into coverage. Yeah.
Because basically, Tom Brady is praised for how quickly he gets rid of the ball, right? Basically,
super fast,
making the edge rushers ineffective, just getting them out of the game.
True.
And that's led to success. If we're seeing a similar performance from the Commanders, that could eliminate our Stallion Player of the Week.
And
it's true.
And everyone else
the,
on that line.
The way you can kind of counter that is you have to have really good press man coverage.
Sure.
I mean, that's what the Chiefs would do. We would rush Houston and Ali. And then our corners were always right up against them on the line of scrimmage. Yeah. And all they have to do is really guard them for like 2 or 3 seconds, because they know after 3 seconds, that QB is scrambling and they're probably going to get hit.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that. So,
are they good enough and are they reliable enough to do that?
I talked about this in the last show. I think it was the last show or the show before. Our cornerbacks give a lot of cushion. We give a lot of space, and we got to play tight, man. You gotta get them lined up on that line. Push them on the line. Push them. Pull them. Do something. Right?
Cheetah.
Jada. Jada. Let the boys play. Okay, sorry. Anyway, so yeah. But you were going to say something, P-Rex? Did I take your thought away?
Right. So my thought basically is we kind of identified that man coverage or that tight coverage.
Yeah.
That's going to delay the release of the ball, which is going to give Carter Schultz some time to get to the QB, which right. we well know that he can do.
And Odom now. We know that.
And Odom and...
And Palapoy.
Palapoy.
Yeah.
Right? Basically, all those guys are studs. So, would it be fair to say that one of the key points for success this weekend would be our secondary providing tight coverage on the wide receiver?
Absolutely.
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
100%. So, defense. But offense. What about the offense? Because we've been tooting the defensive horn for this whole season, basically. But you have some X factors. Who are some of the key players that lead to greater success? Oh my gosh, there's a plane flying over our heads now. who are our top performers on offense?
Pearsonell. Josh Woodrum.
Nick Truesdale.
Truesdale, yes.
Right?
Man, what a beast.
That guy
this last year is
a beast.
He could be, may I say, potentially one of the best non-receivers in the AAF. Non-receiver, so tight end, right? Tight end or running back. He can catch. And he is the safety blanket for Josh Woodrum all the time. And he had that wicked stretch reach game against the Fleet, right?
What was like, it, like a 40-yard play?
Yeah, it was huge.
That was awesome.
And, I mean, now Truesdale is averaging 10 yards per reception on 18 catches, which is awesome, totaling 3 receiving touchdowns. So Truesdale, I think, is one of the X factors. Get that guy the ball. I think we have a better shot of winning every football game that he's involved in.
So my final thing, and P-Rex, I'm sure you will join this bandwagon because you've been on this bandwagon the whole time. Basically, you have to win the turnover battle.
Yes.
Obviously, that has been an issue these last couple weeks. But a couple things. Don't know if you guys saw the game last week for the Commanders. They had 3 interceptions.
Yep.
Like they intercepted the ball 3 times. And they also forced a fumble.
Yeah.
And they forced 2 fumbles, recovered one of them. One of those interceptions was a pick 6, and that's his second straight pick 6 in a game. One of the other interceptions came from a guy that has 4 on the season. So those defensive backs are good. So the Stallions need to be on their game. I think they really need to focus on the short passing game. A lot of slants, a lot of stuff like that, but you cannot miss the target because they will pick that off.
No,
right.
Yeah.
So Josh Woodrum did really well against the Express. He did have 1 interception. They did force a fumble, which we lost on the recovery, but we had a running back that dropped the ball twice.
Yeah.
Right?
Was it
2
newbie?
Turnovers.
No, yeah. Ward. The little
Ward.
Guy, 25.
Yep, yeah, it was Ward.
Yeah.
And I like the way he runs.
Yeah.
He is a powerful runner, and he's wiry. He's tiny and wiry, and he can get through there. He had some really good runs. You just can't drop the football.
Yeah. I think if Woodrum can just prevent any kind of interception, you know, be smart with the ball, throw it into, you know, areas that it should be, and you prevent any kind of the turnovers, I think they legitimately have a good chance. But the moment you start trying to, you know, fit balls into areas they shouldn't, they're going to get those interceptions, and game
right,
over.
Right. Now let me ask you this. Who wins? What are your predictions on the score? And on the betting line, it suggests that the Stallions lose by 8 and it's a combined score of 40. Over under?
I'd say over.
B-Rock?
That's
tough.
Gosh, that's really tough. I think it'll be over, but not by much.
Yeah.
Sure.
Agreed.
Who wins?
Stallions, baby.
We're
fighting for more.
I honestly feel like we always just say Stallions because we're Stallions fans.
But we legitimately believe. And I think it's those first couple of games, they were so close.
Right.
It's not
you're
like
right.
they're getting blown out.
Legitimately, champ. Like, they should have a better record than what shows.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
We all know that.
It all comes down to mistakes. Now, I'll say this. We get more than 2 turnovers, we're losing this game.
Yeah. No, it's true.
That's just the way it is.
So we got to eliminate the turnovers. Secondary's got to do its job. The offense needs to be running on all cylinders. And we're going to beat the Commanders. And I believe in that as well.
Heck yeah, man.
That is our show. That is Stallion Nation. Make sure you go follow us on Facebook and Instagram at SL Stallions Podcast. Go follow us on Twitter at SL Stallions Pod. And we will end it with a shout out. Thank you, Streamlit, for making this podcast possible. And thanks to all our listeners. Make sure you go subscribe. But we will end with a shout out. I'm Champ.
E-Rock.
P-Rex.
And we will catch you next week on Stallion Nation. Peace out.